Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be.
Welcome to The Herd. I am Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd, who is taking a long weekend. Thanks so much for joining us on this beautiful Friday alongside Alex Curry. Good to have you back, Alex.
I love being back. Fridays are my favorite when we get to host together.
Fridays are a good day. Friday's my favorite day. Friday always feels like an accomplishment.
You did it. You made it.
Got through the week. And we have a really fun show today. My brother, Jason Taylor, is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And that's going to be a fun one. You don't want to miss that. Eric Mangini, Rick Bucher to break down all the NBA news. And Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network, NFL Insider, will join us as well. That was a fun game last night.
That was so fun.
A little spicy. We'll talk about the quarterback carousel, the Nets and Sixers we'll get to in a second. Baseball is back.
Woo!
Oh, hallelujah.
Woo!
Nothing worse. Nothing worse than those lockouts. It's terrible. It's terrible for everybody. So glad it's back. It's behind us.
Yeah.
We're moving on. We're going to have a season, a whole season. Very excited about that. College basketball is shaping up for the tournament. Lots of great games yesterday and the day before in the tournaments. But let's get started with the Nets Sixers last night. So this was the game, right? It would have been a little bit bigger had Ben Simmons been on the court, not just for pregame, although Sixers fans milked it for all it was worth with his pregame and the booing, and there was not a warm welcome for Ben Simmons yesterday. But what a great thing for the NBA, how it all went down. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm a huge villain guy, way into villains. I Wear the Black Hat, great book by Chuck Klosterman about our obsession with villains. But what I believe fundamentally about villains is that they make the story compelling. They give it depth. They give the main characters something to overcome. And when you have an incredible villain, it makes the win that much more powerful. So after the Nets-Sixers game last night, I went and saw Batman, which is getting different reviews. Very long, very, very long. 3 hours, guys, is like 20, 30 minutes short. I would have done it. But excellent job. Zoe's incredible. I'm in love. It was a great movie. But what we love about Batman is that Batman isn't really a superhero, right? He's just a regular guy who goes out there and does his vigilante thing, and he, you know, saves the city of Gotham by his own will and strength, and obviously a lot of funds provided by his family, whose name he's trying to defend. So what does Batman have to do with the Nets-Sixers last night? Villains. All anyone ever complains about in the NBA is that everybody's friends. It's all AAU mentality, all these super teams, everyone's getting together. Last night was a great example of how a little bit of rivalry, a little bit of animosity can go a long way. Everyone was watching. You couldn't turn away. Even though it was a blowout, it was so compelling. And look, I try to not start every show that I fill in for Colin by, you know, upsetting Philadelphia fans, which I always do an amazing job of. I'm sorry, guys. I actually love the city of Philadelphia. And I didn't have a problem with how Sixers fans reacted. And in general, I like the idea that you can make things uncomfortable for the away team. It should be a disadvantage to play on the road. And yes, things were spicy in Philadelphia and Sixers fans were not welcoming of Ben Simmons. But oh, how enriching that was when the Nets go out there and get that win. It was spectacular. Now look, KD, I think, is the best player on the planet when he's healthy and out there. I mean, we can argue Giannis, we can discuss LeBron, and I'm not going to freak out about either of those arguments. But KD was incredible. I don't think that this one particular win changes the season for the Nets. Now, there's still a lot of basketball to be played, and Ben Simmons is still going to get out there. But they're building for next year, in my opinion. The Sixers are more ready to win right now. So I'm not going to overreact emotionally or even on the court to what happened last night. And Harden is a whole different conversation. The biggest takeaway, the important thing is, now we have a real rivalry. We have something that fans can get involved in emotionally, and it makes sense. What if this is a first-round series, which is entirely possible? How great is that going to be? It's the constant critique of super teams. It's the constant critique of NBA superstars wanting out. And this is an example of that. James Harden goes to the Sixers, Ben Simmons to the Nets. They play on the road. It's a hostile environment. Fans are booing. KD gets the opportunity to shut them all up on the court, which is the best part of sports. When you have these rivalries, when you have these intense environments and everyone has an opinion and there's all these stories off the court and more stuff is coming out and leaks and sources. And then you get down to the game and it's man against man in a hostile environment and it's a compelling blowout. What is better than that? And then you get to gloat, which is exactly what KD did. And as Queen Petty, I am here for it. Do we have KD? Okay, we don't have KD, but we'll get that later. KD bragged after the game, had a little bit of Petty, talking about how he shut the fans up. And I don't mind it at all. I think you deserve to be able to gloat in that situation. You're the winner. The Sixers fans did all they could to make things impossible and difficult for a player that wasn't even on the court, for that matter. But I loved every second of last night. I love when villains are able to thrive. And when players and organizations lean in to being villains. I hate to make everything about the Miami Heat, but, well, whatever. The big three in Miami were some of the best villains in all of sports. The entire sports world hated that team, hated that organization. They even tried to convince people that they hated the city of Miami, which is an absolute joke. But leaning into being the villain, you don't have to like us. We're still going to come out here and beat you. We're going to rise. We're going to fall. That is what is so compelling about this. That's what makes rivalries so fun. And so even if you aren't on a side here, even if this wasn't one of your teams you were watching last night, you got to enjoy just the sheer pettiness of the situation. Okay, we have KD now. Let's take a listen to him after the game.
We looked at Ben as our brother, you know, so we knew that this was a hostile environment and we knew that he didn't have an opportunity to play. So we wanted to come out there, had him focus on the court more so than just always focusing on him. So they focused on the court tonight and it's hard for you to chant at Ben Simmons when you lose him by that much.
I love it. I'm here for it. And moving forward, if this is a first round series, it's going to be an incredible one. Lean into being the villain. It's okay. Everybody doesn't have to always like you. You don't have to be beloved in every arena that you walk into. But just go in and play on the court and win. And that's exactly what the Nets did last night. Again, I think the Sixers are the better team overall right now. But there's still some basketball to be played. And that was an amazing night. And really, actually, a good thing for the NBA. So, We have some movements with the quarterback positions, and the drama that has ensued over the past year with the Packers, we've all followed. We all were on the strings waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make his decision. I'm fine with it. I'm here for the content. Trust me. This past month has been incredible with stories and everything that's gone on. But we also got movement with Russell Wilson, who started similarly to Aaron Rodgers last year, talking about how unhappy he was. And now he is with the Denver Broncos. We're seeing more and more an NBA superstar type of environment for NFL star quarterbacks. Before everyone starts freaking out, this forcing your way out thing is only going to apply to the star quarterbacks before everyone gets crazy. When you're Russell Wilson, when you're Aaron Rodgers, when you have that kind of ability to put that kind of pressure on an organization, you can make those things happen. If you're a middle of the road guy, you're going to play where somebody's going to give you a check. But the movement with these quarterbacks and non-movement by Aaron Rodgers after all the drama both have the same effect, which is they brought an incredible amount of attention to not only both of their careers and resumes, but what's going to happen moving forward. Because for the last two Super Bowls, we have what's the beginning of a trend, which is Tom Brady leaving New England, going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with obviously a lot of talent, but a losing organization, and winning immediately that year. What happens the year after it? Matthew Stafford leaves a losing organization, goes to the Rams, who are overall a winning organization, but needed to level up in a difficult division. What happens? Super Bowl. Well, now you have an entire year's worth of drama with Aaron Rodgers, but he stays. An entire year's worth of drama with Russell Wilson, and he leaves. And now the pressure is on. For Aaron Rodgers, I believe it's just you drummed all this up to end up saying, you asked for all this opportunity, you asked for all this power, and the ending of this last season for him was a catastrophe. So back-to-back MVPs for your season to end that way, I believe he needs to win another Super Bowl to cement his legacy. Before this, I didn't feel that way. But after everything that's happened, he needs another Super Bowl. If Russell Wilson similarly had stayed with Seattle and spent his entire career there, I don't know that we would look at his career that differently if he didn't add another Super Bowl. But now he's moved, and we have the trends of Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford to evaluate what happens when a star quarterback goes to a talented roster in their first year. Now, if neither one of these guys win a Super Bowl next year, is it the end of the world? No. But the pressure moving forward every year of their career because of the way that they have handled this past year is on them. And that's what happens. When you kick up a bunch of drama, when you kick up a bunch of dirt, people are going to pay more attention to what it is you're doing. And when you demand certain things, the expectations come with it. Now, I don't know that I put that much faith in what's going on in Green Bay because they're up against the cap and the roster moves they're going to have to make. And the fact that, I don't know, they were the number one team in the NFC and lost in their first playoff game to a wild card team. I don't know that I'm putting that much faith in them getting to the Super Bowl this year. But Aaron Rodgers is a back-to-back MVP. We'll see. Russell Wilson, however, is the one that's in the Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady category. He needs to level this team up immediately. Maybe not necessarily win a Super Bowl. Those are hard to do. But the jump that the Denver Broncos have to take this year because of Russell Wilson's move is significant. Now look, franchise quarterbacks always have pressure on them. This isn't news. But when you put this extra emphasis on, I want this and I'm going to move here, and you make the drama happen and make us talk about it every single day, we're going to pay more attention to what it is you're doing and what it is that's happening year by year when you make these moves. I can't wait for it. I think it's amazing for the NFL. And the best part of these two quarterbacks making the decisions that they did is that it once again flies in the face that everything is all and it's panic and chaos. Aaron Rodgers did all that and stayed with the organization that drafted him. Russell Wilson did all that. And he moved. There's different ways to build organizations. There's different ways to win. There's different ways to get what you want accomplished. But the thing that they both did was raise the expectations for the next few years of their career. We have a fun show today. We're going to talk to Jason Taylor. That is my older brother at the bottom of the hour. Eric Mangini, Rick Bucher, and Cynthia Freelands. Later in the show, Alex Curry is with me. Well, Colin is very big on Carson Wentz. He is a Carson Wentz fan. I am not so much. We'll discuss that next on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Got Los Angeles sunshine coming through. Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay authenticity guarantee. You'll feel it, because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture, real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Colin's not here. I do have the same opinion when Colin is here. But he loves Carson Wentz. And I gotta be honest, I've pretty much been out on Carson Wentz since the beginning of his career. I don't get the hype. I feel like it's way overblown how consistent he is, his talent level, and what he actually brings to the table from a leadership perspective. And I think there's enough evidence at this point in his career that I'm starting to look right. Now listen, before I even get into all of this, I think Washington made the right move, and I do not think that the Colts did. I think the Colts panicked a little bit, somewhat overreacted. That could be wrong depending on who they bring in to replace him, but as of right now, they don't have a quarterback, and Washington does. And I think he is a much better quarterback than Taylor Heinicke. It was an aggressive move. I have no problem with what they're paying him. He is a good quarterback and a starting quarterback. I cannot in good faith say that he's a franchise quarterback. He's on his third team now. He barely completed 60% of his passes the years that he fake won his MVP. And the MVP season is what everyone points to always. Well, he almost won an MVP. Okay, but he didn't. He did not win the MVP. He did not finish the season. And while he did have a good season until he was injured, and obviously they went on to win the Super Bowl without him on the field, he barely completed 60% of his passes that year. He had a great run, but the Eagles were awesome that year. They had the number one offensive line in the league. Nick Foles won the Super Bowl and won Super Bowl MVP. The rest of that Eagles team was great. So it doesn't take anything away from what he did that year and what he contributed to that run, but he did not win the MVP. He didn't even finish second in voting. Todd Gurley did. We've had four seasons of seeing him play since then. He's on his third team. He's been in the league 6 years, won Pro Bowl. He's won more than 10 games once. He is a good quarterback. I get it. He has a high ceiling, but as much talent and ceiling as he has, we've seen the wreckage of when he can't put it together. That's why he's not in Indianapolis anymore. So I just feel like he is continuously getting this runway of excuses and, well, he's just so talented and, well, he has this arm and, well, he's mobile. All those things are true. But he also, to me, has a ceiling. And it's partly because of his leadership, which we've heard about in two places now that he's on his third team, because we obviously heard about it with Philadelphia. And now we're hearing rumors that he had leadership issues and issues with coaching in Indianapolis, which we all agreed was the best place for him with Frank Wright. I actually felt like if he couldn't make it work there, my opinion on him was shut. Like that was the best place for him. That was the place they were going to foster and build around him. It was his second chance. So I'm not saying he's not going to win games in Washington. I think he will. I like their roster. I love Ron Rivera. Don't love much of what else is going on in Washington, but I do think he is an upgrade. I think they will win more games, but I wouldn't be surprised if this falls apart as well. And he wasn't even Washington's first choice. They were aiming much higher than that. They went after Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, as they should have, reportedly Deshaun Watson, and Jimmy Garoppolo and Mitchell Trubisky. So now we're starting to get down the ladder a bit, because we know how everyone feels about Jimmy G and we know how everyone feels about Mitchell Trubisky. So I don't want to rain on the parade for Washington Commanders fans. I do think it is an upgrade. I think he's going to win some games. But man, he just consistently does this now. We have a pattern. We have information. We have a sample size. Let's just take a look at what he's done since he's been since he left Philadelphia. If you look at the numbers, I mean, sorry to the radio audience, but 27th in yards per game, passing yards per game, 29th in passer rating, 15th touchdown interception ratio, completion percentage 35th, and 27th in wins and losses. He's 26 and 29 since 2018. It's not great. Big arm, very mobile, strong guy. I got it. But he is not a great quarterback. And it's very confusing why he keeps being placed into that category. We'll get to Jason Taylor at the bottom of the hour, but first, Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Joy, we mentioned it on the top of the show. Baseball is back, you guys.
Hallelujah.
MLB owners voted unanimously to ratify a new collective bargaining agreement yesterday. This ended the league's 99-day lockout of players and maintained a 162-game season that will begin on April 7th. Now, some notable rule changes under the new CBA are 12-team expanded postseason, a universal designated hitter, which I think is huge and needed to happen a little bit ago, 9-inning games in doubleheaders. Now, this is because the last couple years we had the 7-inning games, the shorter season. Let me tell you, I've worked doubleheaders. Those things go long. Didn't mind the 7 innings, but I understand as a player, it's just a completely different game if you're not playing the full 9. And then no runners on base to start extra innings, which was also really interesting, kind of an experiment they did last year. Now, players were very excited to hear about the agreement and took to social media to talk about it, and rightfully so. I am so excited for the players and the fans. Baseball cannot afford to miss a season. Now, I grew up with baseball. I had season tickets to the Dodgers my whole life. I covered the Angels for 10 years. I love baseball. And I hope having this thought of having a possible miss of a season in this little lockout will bring extra excitement to the game, because now we're finally seeing huge personalities from the star players, Tatis Jr., Shohei Ohtani. I want to see a guy go crazy after he strikes out the side. I want to see a bat flipped after a monster home run. I am so excited, you guys. baseball is back.
It's wonderful. It was really starting to look bleak there for a little while.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And look, it sucks for fans. These lockouts are obviously very difficult on the players, but it was a little terrifying for baseball fans there for a little while. It was kind of feeling sad. And nobody really wanted to talk about it too much because it's very confusing when you get into the CBA and what they're asking for. And generally it's money, but obviously there are other things that players are fighting for and owners, and nobody wants to hear it from the owners when it comes to money. So it always gets messy, but I'm so glad that there's going to be a season. And I'm with you on that. Yeah. I do think the fear of it possibly not happening has raised the attention and excitement for the season now. And the big part of it also is it's not going to be an abbreviated season, which is huge.
No, that's huge. It escalated quickly. We didn't know. We thought it might be pushed back. It's not much. We got 27 days to opening day, guys. Here we go.
Yes.
All right, let's move on because the Lakers have been struggling as of late, having lost 13 of their last 17 games. And LeBron knows that there is a lot of pressure on the team to do well. Take a listen.
We just don't have a lot of room for error, you know. And, you know, when we make a mistake or we break down defensively or we don't get a good look at the basket, teams are literally making us pay every time. It's not like we're getting away with things. And it's just that simple. I mean, we have a very small margin of error, you know, this year. And teams are making us pay.
Now you can tell by the tone of his voice and his body language that these tough losses are starting to wear on him a lot. And you have to remember, AD has missed 28 games out of 65 games, and that is the biggest thing. They are not the same team without AD. Somehow, they are still sitting in the ninth seed while also being 9 games under 500. There's 17 games left in the regular season, so if maybe they can hold on so tight to that ninth spot and they get AD back, you're saying there might be a chance. Maybe. I am.
Well,
I'm saying, as a Laker fan, I'm saying I'm hoping there's a chance.
Look, I've said from the beginning of the season, this season lays squarely at the feet of Anthony Davis.
100%.
Yes, it's LeBron James. And he comes with a certain amount of pressure and expectations.
Yeah.
But he's in his 19th season. As amazing as he is playing.
Yeah.
Let's keep some perspective on that. And that's just the regular season. So we're not counting the amount of games that he's played in the postseason and the Olympics, which we should mention.
A whole other handful of seasons.
That is wear and tear on your body.
Yeah.
Hard games. Traveling. A lot of it's being laid at the feet of Russell Westbrook, which I think he deserves quite a bit of blame, because while he probably shouldn't be the focus of what's happened with the Lakers, he has made himself the focus of what's happened with the Lakers. Anthony Davis is not healthy. If this was any other team, right? Let's just try it.
Yeah.
Let's try it. The Clippers. The Clippers don't have both of their stars this year. Is anyone freaking out? Is anyone losing their mind? Are there leaks and who put together this roster? And blah, blah. You don't have your stars healthy. It's just LeBron missed time and Anthony Davis is out.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about here? Realistically, it's on Anthony Davis. It's not his fault he's hurt.
Yeah.
But if you don't have Anthony Davis on the floor, then what is the coaching going to do? What is the scheme going to do? What is Russell Westbrook going to do? What is LeBron going to do? What is the front office going to do? You don't have your stars. It's a star-driven league.
Mm-hmm.
So while everyone can be freaking out about what they should be accomplishing, and any team that has LeBron James is going to have an extra microscope,
Just
take a step back. Anthony Davis is on the floor.
That's the biggest thing, but also they won a championship.
Two years ago. But Anthony Davis was healthy.
I know.
When that happened.
I know.
That's the problem. If this wasn't a team that didn't have LeBron James on it, had another star, and Anthony Davis was hurt, we'd be like, well, you know, they're having a nice season, but like they've got a ceiling because they don't have both their stars. Next year, when they get both their stars back, make some moves to the roster, we can see what's going to happen. But nobody would have the expectations that they should be higher than they are or winning a championship.
But you have LeBron. You won a championship 2 years ago, and you're the Lakers. Those are three big things that
I get
always going to count against you.
If you just, you know, use reason, that's not fun.
As a Laker fan, no reason. But hey, but let's stick with this. Because Russell Westbrook is not having his best year in his first season playing in his hometown. But he does have the support of one of his peers. Steph Curry spoke out about what Westbrook has been going through and said, I told him when we played them in LA a couple days ago that I respect how he's handled the whole year, just in terms of everything he's been saying and how he's been handling himself and protecting his family. It is the nature of the beast. He's a professional, and I'm proud of the way he's conducting himself, and I am here for him. Now, this is a tough situation on both sides. Let's start on the Lakers side, as we just mentioned. This is a team that won a championship 2 years ago. These fans, you have expectations at least a year or two after a championship. You bring in this huge superstar who has not lived up to the expectations. Fans are allowed to have feelings. Fans are allowed to have emotions, and they share those emotions. That's what's fun about going to games. But then on the other side of thing, on Russ's side, he is a superstar who is on the back end of his career, having a really tough time on the back end of his career. And the world is watching. When you're on the Lakers, it's just a different beast. Everyone is watching. Everyone's going to have an opinion. And the bottom line is you're making $44 million. You got to play a little better.
Yeah, you do. You do. I get what Steph is saying. I think Steph is coming from the perspective of, and he's experienced this with his wife, getting backlash for things throughout the years. That when you come for people's family, like, you're a joke. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're not tough. You're not cool. You're the worst, corniest, lame that walks the earth. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, you were in a professional family, so...
Yeah, I mean...
Get perspective.
And I had the perspective on it, but it's just nonsense. Like, nobody is defending that. Nobody thinks that it's right or it's cool or that it's justified. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Take that out of it. No one's defending that, right? It's nonsense. Fans have a right to be upset.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I do think they're wildly unrealistic, but they have a right to be upset.
Yeah.
Yes. But I mean, look,
it's in the name.
You're a Lakers fan, so I'll tell you. I get it. But you can also have some perspective on your team.
Yeah.
And because when you are a fan and you guys put that certain amount of pressure on an organization, whether it's deserved or not, sometimes it is panic and it ends up being a bad thing. Now, I believe they have to do massive overhauls to this roster, and I think that Russell Westbrook is going to be gone. But as far as what Steph Curry is saying about how he's handled the season, I completely disagree.
Mm-mm.
He has done no one any favors this season, most importantly himself. As you mentioned, he's making $44 million, more than LeBron.
That is crazy, by the way.
Yes.
Let's just put that in perspective.
More than LeBron. We're going to go to Jason at the 45, so... That's Alex with the news, and we will just keep talking about this.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
We will.
The Herd Lie News.
No, it wasn't that. We're trying to find Jason. I'm going to do a call-in right now. Where are you?
are we live calling brother on the air right now?
No, I'm not going to call him. I'm going to text him, though. Bother him. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today. He's taking a long weekend. He'll be back on Monday. We'll try and track down my brother. But I was going to talk about this anyway, so we can just continue talking about the Russell Westbrook situation. He has been an agitator this season. Not just in, obviously, there's tons of reports of what's going on in the locker room, what's going on with people wanting him to be benched. Vogel had to get permission to change the end of game lineup with him in it. There are wild things going on with the Lakers and Russell Westbrook, but he is not still the superstar player that he was before.
No.
I think his name is bigger than his play right now. This is his fourth team in four seasons. He is going to be on a fifth team in five seasons. That's not superstar level play.
No.
So the idea of Russell Westbrook is bigger than his actual play right now. And the same goes for himself. I don't believe in humble. Humble's for God, all right? I don't need to be humble to other people, right? I don't believe in that. I'm probably in the minority on that. But like, being humble in certain situations has gotten me in a lot of trouble. Where I've walked out of the room like, wait a minute. Hold up. I'm that girl. And I just left that room and they don't think that I am now because I'm being humble for nothing. But you do have to have self-awareness. And I think those are two very different things. And we can talk philosophically about that forever. But Russell Westbrook does not have any self-awareness. When you walk into a post-game press conference where the home fans have been booing you because of your play, they're not booing you because you're awesome and they just don't like you. That ain't what happening. They're booing you because you're not playing well. When you go in there and say, I don't care if they boo, Well, no, you should care if they boo. You should feel something. You should be upset. I'm not saying that you need to apologize. I'm not saying that you need to say that you're not a Hall of Famer and your legacy is being ruined. You don't get a hyperbolic. But going in there and saying, yeah, we need to play better. The fans deserve better. This is the Lakers. There's standards here. I need to be better. I will be better. I'm working on being better. I'm going to take advice and input from the coaches and from my mentors and from LeBron. Like, I'm going to be better for the fans, for my teammates, period. How far does that go? How does that change the temperature in the room? There's nothing but animosity coming from Russell Westbrook, and I don't think he's helped the situation at all this year.
He hasn't. And I think the biggest thing you said is I, taking responsibility for not playing to the expectations that the team, the fans, the organization, the league has
in him. Your paycheck.
Everything. But he's also said before, like, I'm allowed to miss shots. That's not how you should respond in a post-game presser. I'm going to work on that. My shots weren't great tonight. I'm going to get better. That's it.
There's a playbook for this. And I think it happens in the NFL consistently where when there's bad play, a quarterback will come out and say, oh, it's on me. I need to be better. I let the guys down. I let the fans down. I let the coaches down. We're going to work on it. Unacceptable. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, maybe it's not his fault, but we are going to take it as his word that he knows it needs to be better. You don't hear that as much in the NBA, and you haven't heard from Russell Westbrook this season, and I do think that it's added to the animosity to the team in general and particularly directed at him. The family thing, take that out. No one's justifying that. No. But for the way that he's played, I do think fans have a right to be upset. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason Taylor? Yes, okay.
Hey.
Jason Taylor, Hall of Famer on The Herd, Joy Taylor and for Colin Cowherd next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
So make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or, like, put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self, and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Defensive Player of the Year in 2006 and Walter Payton Man of the Year, other than the Hall of Fame. That is my favorite award that you have won. I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming on with me. So it's... Not a secret, but this is going to be the official announcement because I'm just reclaiming my time as your sister. But congratulations. So excited for you to join the Miami Hurricanes coaching staff. So tell us how excited you are for this opportunity to work alongside Cristobal and mold young men.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. So I guess, kind of got out last week, kind of ahead of things being done, but officially part of the Miami Hurricanes football staff and really excited about the opportunity there. Got Mario Cristobal has really afforded me a great opportunity to come in and help work with a great, great staff. I mean, our defensive coordinator, Kevin Steele, has been around forever. So much experience. Charlie Strong, linebacker coach. The Maladai just won a national championship at the University of Georgia this past year. Joe Salavea came over from Oregon to coach the D-line. I mean, it's a powerhouse coaching staff and really looking forward to trying to get the U back to where it should be. You know, I always talking about the old U and going back to what it was when Ray Lewis and those guys were there. This is a new day and age and need to create their own new identity and culture. And I think Mario's doing a great job of that so far.
Well, obviously, you've spent a lot of time in Miami and you're very familiar with the program. And as you mentioned, mm-hmm. That conversation is always around the Miami Hurricanes of when the U is going to be back and the U is back and then the U is not back. And what is unique about the Miami Hurricanes as a program and as a school, if you haven't had any experience around the Miami Hurricanes?
Yeah, it's just different. And I know people say that. It really gives you no information. People say, well, it's just different. Well, if you know, you know. It's just one of those things. But back when UM was high flying and rolling and beating up on people, it's like a rock star mentality. It's kind of like when the Miami Heat were great, when LeBron was there and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were in Miami, and it was like the Beatles were traveling all around all the time. And that's kind of the aura that the U had, when they were winning championships and running through college football. And it's been a process trying to get back to those days. No longer is it the Orange Bowl, now playing at Hard Rock Stadium. But one thing you notice very quickly is how big of a fan base the University of Miami has in all sports, but in particular in football. I mean, they love their football. There's an expectation. There's a standard. There's a way of life that people expect the Miami Hurricanes to play to and carry themselves to. And we'll embrace that. But I think with one of the great things Mario was doing is just changing the entire culture, just accountability-wise, being responsible and doing everything the way it's supposed to be done at all times. And there are no small things. Everything's a big thing, and so do it the right way. And I love his energy. He's a tireless worker, obviously a great, great recruiter, and He got me over there, so he did a great job recruiting me, too.
We're talking to Jason Taylor, Joy Taylor, and for Colin Cowherd on The Herd. Yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, Jason has been coaching for several years now. Quite successful, actually. Multiple state championships and a national championship. Not bragging, but just saying. So you didn't want to get into coaching, though, originally. And then you fell in love with it. How would you describe your coaching style? Because, you know, you got like the Tony Dungys, and then you got the Bruce Arians, and you got Mike Tomlin, and, you know, there's many different personalities out there.
Yes, there are. I guess sometimes my players say I'm Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde a little bit, and, you know, make jokes about how I can go from one extreme to the other. So I guess I took something away from everybody that I played for. I played for a lot of coaches. I mean, I had Jimmy Johnson at first. So you have a little bit of his philosophical ways of motivating people, and, you know, the hard work I got that was established in me early. I got from Jimmy Johnson. I played for Coach Nick Saban, one of my favorite people on earth, and probably my favorite coach I ever played for. So I got a little bit of that. I was talking with Kevin Steele, our defensive coordinator at the U, about Dom Capers a few days ago, and how great of a guy Dom Capers was. Always mellow, just kept it even keel all the time, win, lose, or draw, and was very easy to talk to. Didn't get too fired up. So I used all of those things, and my whole philosophy is, you know, you coach them hard and you love them harder. So, you know, you're going to be pushed. You're going to be, you know, put in uncomfortable situations. You have to make players get comfortable being uncomfortable. It can't just be, you know, people say a player's coach. Well, a player's coach isn't just a buddy of yours that, you know, makes it easy. You could be a player's coach, but also be demanding, hold people accountable, hold people to that standard you need to work to. But one of the things I learned about kids, you know, coaching in college or coaching in high school for the last 5 years and then youth league before that, you know, you come in with this resume of, oh, he played in the NFL, he's a Hall of Famer, he's this, he's that. I'm a firm believer in, you know, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. So when you can create those personal relationships with people, with the players and the coaches in the building, when you can create that trust and respect, then they just start to become sponges and want to learn everything they can from you.
Mood swings? You? Who said that? That's shocking.
I know you're not talking now.
I'm not moody.
I learned it from you.
Jason Taylor on The Herd with us right now. Well, you mentioned Jimmy Johnson, who's a colleague of us of ours here. He introduced you at the Hall of Fame. Love Jimmy. But you have a funny story about Jimmy and camp when you first got there, just how hard Jimmy's training camps were. I think you told it in your Hall of Fame speech, but if they didn't hear it, what happened with you and Jimmy at camp?
So, you know, I get there in 1997 as a rookie, and that's the old NFL. And I hate saying that because you feel like an old person when you do that. But, you know, the old NFL of 2 days, you know, padded practices twice a day. We had 21, I think, 2 days my first year, and it was just hard. And I'm a very mentally tough person, work hard. I usually don't get crushed by a lot of things, but we're 3 or 4 days in the training camp and doing these 2 days, and the rookies have to get up an hour earlier than everybody else to get taped and dressed. So you're out of the way. They don't want to see you. You got to eat before everybody gets to the building. So you're getting there at 6 in the morning, getting to bed at 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night. And I just, after 3 or 4 days, I literally thought, if I close my eyes and go to sleep, I'm not going to wake up. Like, I'll never wake up. My body's going to shut down, and I'm going to die in my sleep. And I just can't do this. So I called my mom. She's like, oh, excited. Oh, how's it going? How's training camp? I'm so excited. I'm like, Mom, I know I've had this dream for so long to get here, but I seriously don't think this is for me. I cannot survive. This is inhumane, what is going on right now. I wanted to cry. And I was deathly afraid to close my eyes. And then she, in our mom's tough, loving way, told me to shut the hell up and go to bed and get up in the morning and go to work. And it just, I swear, I went to bed that night. I said a prayer. I was like, I just, please let me wake up in the morning, because I really thought my body was going to shut down. I came in the next morning and coach asked me how I felt. Of course, as a rookie, you're in a lot of coaching up and tell me you feel like crap. So I'm like, oh, coach, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. And thank God I got through that training camp, but it really set the tone for the way my career was going to be in the NFL, and, you know, establishing that work ethic, that standard, that competitive nature, the competitive drive in everything we do. We competed under Jimmy. We competed every single day, and it was the absolute best.
Well, sticking with the NFL, it was a trade yesterday, Khalil Mack to the Chargers. He's obviously an incredible player. What kind of impact do you think he's going to have there?
Khalil Mack's a dude. He is, and I think it'll be good for him to get out of Chicago, you know, a change of scenery. he's going, first of all, he's going to L.A. So you get out of Chicago, get to go to L.A. You're playing with a really good football team and a great young quarterback there with the Chargers. And, it's for his skill set and what he does and what he brings to the table is works for any team. But when you're in Chicago, they're struggling to score points. They weren't very good. You don't get the full Khalil Mack experience. And I think being able to play with a lead, playing for a team that can throw the ball around and score some points and let him get back on the edge and get that swag going back and dominate in the NFL. He is a talented, talented guy. I was very surprised when he first left Oakland, or I think it was Oakland at the time when he went to Chicago. But I think he's in a good spot, and it makes an already tough division even more competitive.
Well, thanks for coming on with us, Jason. Congratulations again, Miami Hurricanes coaching staff with Mario Cristobal. I've always loved the U, even though I went to Barry. We didn't have a football team, so I could just have my allegiances there. But I'm very excited. I'm very excited with what Cristobal is building there. Colin and I always say the Miami Hurricanes and USC, when they're viable, when they're relevant, college football is a different scene. So I'm very excited to see what you guys do there. Thank you. Love you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. I love you too. And I'm very, very proud of you. Listen, I'm out on the road right now in Arizona, and everywhere I go, I am no longer Jason Taylor. I am Joy Taylor's brother, and I absolutely love it. You keep kicking butt. Keep kicking butt.
Thanks, Jason. I'm very, very excited about that. It's been very difficult to keep it under wraps. I'm like ignoring people, getting text messages like, oh, I didn't see that. But I'm very, very happy for him. And I mean, listen, Colin and I, Colin, USC, Lincoln Riley just got like a $17 million house. Did you see that?
I heard you guys talk about it.
Woo, Lord. Good for
Welcome
you, man.
Welcome to L.A.
Can't get that in Oklahoma.
Welcome to L.A.
I'm not going
to
pick on Oklahoma. I'm not going to do that. It's something about this seat. As soon as I get over here, I start picking on Oklahoma. Thanks to Jason for joining us. We'll talk to Cynthia Freeland, Eric Mangini, and Rick Bucher later on the show. Joy Taylor alongside Alex Curry in for Colin Cowherd today. Let's talk a little bit more NFL, all of the moves, the free agent moves, the quarterback market. What's left? If your team doesn't have a quarterback, what are you going to do? What moves are you going to make? We'll talk about that next on The Herd.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.